4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 17 through 24 to start off with. Hallelujah. What a great time of praise and worship. And that prophetic word and the prophetic words that were spoken are exactly what I'm preaching today, by the way. I mean, like dead on. So here we go. It says, "This I say," Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust or desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Say, new man. Amen. Now go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That new sign looks sharp out there, doesn't it? Oh, that's going to be used in a powerful way. Amen. As a tool to reach people for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, when you got born again, and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it means to be born again, right? Putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection. He is the Son of God. And you made him Lord of your life. The Holy Spirit took away that spiritual sin nature in your spirit man. Amen? You have to understand this. I say it all the time, but the Holy Spirit wants me to keep pushing this thing. The Holy Spirit took away your sin nature and began to live on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit came in and made residence. Now, here's what you need to understand. You got to get this. You are not a reformed sinner. You are a new creation in Christ. Are you following me? All right? So old things have passed away and all things have become new. You're not a reformed sinner. Okay, you were a sinner, now you're a saint, amen, like we've been talking about on Wednesdays. Your old life and continual habitual sin should not be dominating your life anymore as a Christian, amen? That is the importance of renewing your mind with the Word of God, to allow the righteousness of God. Your faith was in Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in, the sin nature left, you received the righteousness that Jesus purchased for you. Amen? Amen. So you are righteous. Say that with me. Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
In Christ Jesus. All right, so that's the importance of renewing our mind with the Word of God, because we're allowing the righteousness of God that's in our spirit man and the leading of the Holy Spirit where he lives on the inside in our spirit man. It allows that to dictate every area of your life. Amen? So that new spiritual nature of righteousness on the inside of your spirit then, it should have an outward manifestation, or I like to say it like this, evidence. An outward manifestation or evidence in your thoughts, your spoken words, and your actions. All right? That righteousness that you have in your spirit should be coming out. Amen? So today I want to talk about this, the evidence of righteousness. Evidence of righteousness in the life of a Christian. And that kind of goes along with what we've been talking about on Wednesdays, but I'm going into just a few points, and I really want to expound on them today. I think this is a right now word. Amen? So, we are freed from the bondage of sin And therefore, as Christians, we're freed from the bondage of sin. Therefore, we are to be dead to sin, the Word of God says. So legally speaking, we are freed from and dead to sin. I want to show you that. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 is amazing. If you have a sin problem as a Christian, if you're in a backslidden state, you need to read Romans chapter 6 over and over again. Amen? Look at this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? See, a dead man can't sin. You following me?
Yes.
You have been crucified in Christ by faith. Or do you not know that as many as of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If from the time that you put your faith in Christ, you confessed him as Lord, if you don't see a change from your old life and there's a new life, there's a problem.
Amen?
Amen? All right, that's why Jesus said you will know them by their fruits, their evidence, that righteousness that should be coming out in your actions, thoughts, words, and deeds. Amen? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing this, Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, here it is, underline this, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Follow me. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So if it's saying don't let it, it means it's possible that you can let it. Are you following me? This thing isn't automatic. It takes your free will. That you should obey its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It's talking about your physical body. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, but isn't grace a license to sin? No. Grace is an empowering to overcome sin. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Two more verses, stick with me. But God be thanked that through you, though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now, say now. As a Christian, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. I know that was long, but I had to do it. Why? Because I got to let God's word speak for itself. So it says this, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's what the word reckon means, right? Reckon means to consider yourself as. It's a thought life issue. Consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through your thought life. All right? It means that you have a revelation. It means that you have an understanding that you are no longer a slave to sin. You don't have to sin. Now, it feels real easy to sin when you get in the flesh mode, doesn't it? That's why you got to shift your mindset to a spiritual mindset on things above. Amen? So it means to maintain your proper perspective or relationship to sin through Jesus Christ. All right? That's why it's wrong and it's unbiblical to reckon yourselves or consider yourselves to be a reformed sinner and not a new creation in Christ. See, it all begins in the thought life. That's where it takes place. As a person thinks, so is he or she. Right. Amen? Amen? If you think you're a sinner, guess what you're going to do? If you believe you're a new creation, you're going to act that way. Amen? So having the wrong idea of your true identity in Christ will negatively affect your actions, all right? So why? What will happen? It means that you will constantly make excuses for not living a holy life because after all, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner, right? Those memes we put out on Facebook, I'm still under construction. Which is true, but people use that as an excuse not to live holy for God. Are you following me? So I want you to notice in Romans 6:12 that right after it instructs us to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and freed from the bondage of sin, it commands us to not to allow sin to reign in our mortal body or in our physical body. In other words, it means don't obey the lust or the desires there's a war going on in you. You know that? You are body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a physical body. So there's always this constant battle going on the inside of you, right? Paul even said it. He said, I want to do right, but in me there's something that doesn't want to do right. Amen. So that tells us that our flesh desires to sin. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark, missing God's standard of holiness. Amen? See, there's a reason why I put a slide out there that says bold biblical teaching and preaching. Amen? It's the truth. We got to hear this. Amen? But so that tells us that our flesh desires to sin. That's because our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and our physical body are not born again. The only part of you that's born again is your spirit man, where the sin nature was taken out and the Holy Spirit came in. You understand that? That's the only part of you that's the new creature, right? When you said the sinner's prayer, when you got born again, nothing changed in your physical body, right? I didn't lose this 40 pounds after I made Jesus Lord of my life. Although way back then I was, you know, whatever, but never mind, right? But the only part of you that's born again is your spirit, all right? So, that's another way of saying this. Allow your born again, righteous spirit man to lead you. Allow the Holy Ghost to lead you from your spirit, amen? That's why the Bible says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh, amen? So allow that part of you that's been changed from a sinner to a saint, allow that part of you that desires to please God, allow that part to influence every area of your life. That's what the Word of God is saying there. Amen? Amen. And don't allow the parts that have not been born again, don't allow them to influence you. It's all about influence. What one are you allowing to influence you? Amen? All right, so that's why we are commanded to crucify the fleshly desires. Last time I checked, getting crucified, that's not a pleasant thing. In fact, it hurts sometimes. In fact, it's humbling. Amen. But nevertheless, the Bible says crucify those things. Why? So that means you have to have an outlook that says, you know what, doing the right thing is going to work out better in the long run than having satisfaction now for a season. With sin, it's a perspective issue. Because I promise you, there will be a payday on sin. There are consequences to sin. Amen? So again, legally speaking, spiritually, we have been freed from. We have been released from the grip of sin. Now, guess what? You can choose to obey God. Isn't that good news? You can actually choose to obey God. Before you got born again, before that sin nature, when that sin nature was in there, you're a slave to sin, the Bible says. That's all you knew how to do, right? That's why when you go to someone who's not born again and you're picking all their fruit of all their sin, they're just kind of like, "What, man, you're crazy. Lady, you're crazy." Why? Because that's all they know how to do. You must be born again, Jesus said. That sin nature must be removed for you to have a choice to walk holy before God. Amen? So you can now choose to follow righteousness that's been put in your spirit, man, by the Holy Ghost. Now that shifting point that determines if you allow your born again righteous spirit or your fleshly nature, guess what that switching point is? Your mind. It's all in the mind right here. That's the shifting point. If you see two railroad tracks and you see a thing that shifts the railroad track, right? So the train will go down the other track. That shifting lever in the Christian's life is your thought life, your mind. That's why the Word of God says to renew your mind with the Word of God so you can allow the influence of that righteousness to come forth in your life. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. That's why it's so important to listen to sermons and messages from the Word, to allow it. Here's what you're doing. Are you ready? You're allowing the Word of God, you're allowing those messages to restructure your belief system in your soul. You need some restructuring in your soul. Amen. Because living in the influence of this evil world system for so many years before getting saved, guess what happened to that belief system? It's all deformed. Amen. Now God says, yeah, you're a little deformed in your thought life, but guess what? Get into my word so I can transform it. Yes. See, that's why every time you hear the word of God, when you read the Bible, you're going from deformed to transformed. I like that. Amen? Just has a nice ring to it. Deformed to transform. The next piece of evidence of righteousness as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ is that we will imitate him as his servants. We will imitate him. We will be his servants. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Oh, we're going to go a lot deeper. Get ready. 1 John 2. It's right before 2 John, in case you're wondering. I hope that helps. Now, not the Gospel of John, 1 John, all the way to the end. Amen. All right. 1 John 2, 1 through 6. Look at this. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Wow. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the what? Righteous. Yes, it's his righteousness. Amen? Because we're no good in ourselves. It's his righteousness. Amen? And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. He is our sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. But you must put your faith in him to take advantage of that provision. Amen? Now, by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commands. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected or matured in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So what does that mean? It means that we are to imitate Jesus on this earth. We are a representation of Christ on this earth. Now, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Now, here's what you need to know. Oh, get ready. There is a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. See, you can know Pastor James. You can know Pastor James from the newspaper, from him getting all dirty on that library stuff over there. You can know him, and some people don't like me because they know me by that. But they don't truly know me. Because if they spend time with me, they'll know I'm a pretty cool guy. Right? So there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. Relationship is a fruit. It grows with time. You can know about someone and not have a relationship with them. As we're truly knowing them personally, knowing them intimately involves a relationship with them. Time spent with them. Amen? Every time you come to church, every time you open the Word of God, every time you pray, every time you gather with someone and talk about Jesus, guess what you're doing? You're spending time with Him. You're getting to know Him. And it's influencing your life. Amen? Now, verses 3 through 4 clearly point out that if you truly know Jesus, there will be evidence of obedience of keeping His commands. Verse 5 is very interesting. It says, whosoever keeps His word, that keeps His word is another way of saying obeying His word. Truly the love of God, so it connects obedience with the love of God. All right? Truly the love of God is perfected or has matured in that person. Guess what that is? That's commitment and consistency. Those two words were brought up on Wednesday night in the Bible study. Think about that. Say that with me. Commitment and consistency. That's what God's looking for. That's what it means to abide, to remain with, to stand strong with Christ. Commitment and consistency, no matter what comes your way in life. Amen? The Word of God says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, or in our spirit man, by the Holy Spirit. All right? The true love of God that should flow out of a Christian is obedience to the Word of God. That's the love of God. To the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen? Remember, Jesus' love language is obedience to His Word. Amen? So, let me just go down a list here. If someone says they love God, they love Jesus, but are fornicating, having sex before marriage, they're a liar. Amen? If someone is involved in homosexuality and they say they love God, they love Jesus, the Word says, not Pastor James, the Word says you're a liar. If someone approves of abortion, murder of the unborn, and they say they love God, they love Jesus, guess what the Word says? You're a liar. If someone approves of pornographic material to be put in a children and teen section in a library, and they say they love God, they go to church, they love Jesus, guess what the Word says? You're a liar. Amen? Righteousness will always be evidenced by obeying the Word of God. Always. A Christian that backslides in sin has disconnected their relationship from Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I'm the true vine, right? I'm the vine. I'm your source of life. When you disconnect from Him, there's going to be problems. You're going to become dry spiritually, and you're going to give in to the flesh and disobedience to the Word of God. That backslidden Christian, they severed their commitment. They severed their consistency. Listen, that they once had. That's why the Word says, come back to your first love. Amen. Come back to your first love of Jesus right now. You don't have to wait. Amen? You can do it right in that seat right now. You can do it right from that living room watching right now around the world. Amen? Amen. True biblical love of God will always be evidenced by obedience to the Word. Don't ever forget that. If there is disobedience to the Word of God, righteousness is not being manifested through your life. Righteousness is not happening in your thoughts, in your spoken words, and your actions. All three are affected. All three of those things. What would Jesus do? He would do exactly what the Word of God says to do. Because He is the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Are you following me? We don't have to ask, what would Jesus do? Crack the Bible open and find out. Amen. Amen? Now, let me show you something else that's powerful here that will connect some dots in your life. All right, we're going deeper. Go to 1 John 4, verse 17 and 18 here. 1 John 4, 17 and 18 here. We're gonna go deeper. We're going to put a magnifying glass on some of this stuff now. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Why? Because we're supposed to imitate Jesus. Why? He gave us his righteousness. So how Jesus lived, we are able to live. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect or mature in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, here we go. So don't ever forget this. You don't ever forget this. The love of God in our life promotes obedience to the word of God. That's a foundation of our faith. Amen? All right? That's a total foundation of our Christian faith. So if next time someone comes along and says, you have to approve of this sin, you have to approve of what Washington, D.C. is doing, no, you don't. No, you don't. Your first priority is obeying the word of God over any government that is in sin. Amen? So operating in the love of God, see, the word of God is the higher law. Operating in the love of God or obedience toward God will always manifest a boldness, a confidence in your life. Have you ever recognized that? When you were walking right, let me just talk to any of the backslidden Christians in here. Can I see a show of hands? No, don't raise your hand. Listen, I'm serious though. The backslidden Christians, when you were truly in that consistency, that commitment with the Lord, didn't you have a confidence like never before? Didn't you have a boldness? You had a boldness to stand on the word. But when that failed, that's when fear came in. That's when a lot of junk came into your life. You don't even have confidence. Some people say, I don't even know if I drop dead right now, if I would even go to heaven right now. Are you following me? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Is it clear as mud to you right now? That's a joke, people. Not operating in the love of God or righteousness, it will do that opposite. You will not have that boldness. You will not have that confidence. And in fact, there will be an open door for the enemy to come into your life. That's why things started to shift when that commitment and consistency fell away. Amen? My point is this, when you operate in the love of God or the righteousness of God, fear will have no place to land in your heart. It will have no place to land. If you have a fear problem in your life, there is a lack of understanding of what the love of God is. Amen? There is a spiritual, like I talked about last week, I believe, there is a spiritual disconnection somewhere in your life. There's, say, disconnection. Thank you. Say disconnection, please. Just help her out. Thank you. All right. There is a spiritual disconnection somewhere that opened the door to fear, that let negative things into your life. Amen? See, but the word says perfect. Don't trip over perfect. The word perfect there means a mature love. What does that mean? It means you've been maturing and growing in your relationship with him. Amen? Just like with your spouse. When you first got married or you first started dating, you didn't know them, right? But the more you get to know them, you start to mature in that love. Amen? You just don't know about them. You know them now. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Amen? But not walking in that love of God or disobedience to the word, it opens the door to fear because of this. Because it's outside of God's divine order for your life. Say divine order. Divine order. See, we were created to walk and live in the love of God. And when you, by your own free will, step out of the love of God, when you fail to do that, you're inviting a curse into your life. You're inviting the enemy to come into your life. That's what's happening. See, the kingdom of God is this. The word says this. I love it. Catch this. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. You can sum up the kingdom in those three things. Amen? Amen? If those things aren't active in your life, you're not operating in the kingdom of God. You're operating in the flesh. Amen? So we are to imitate Jesus on this earth by being doers of the word. We are expected to be his servants. We are expected to be his ambassador, his representative on this earth. Amen? Next piece of evidence of righteousness in our life is that we will, here we go, you ready for this? Get ready, get your pen and paper out to take notes. We are expected to walk in love toward people. That's that word that Carol gave today. She's talking about love. I'm like, all right, Holy Ghost, there he goes. He's preaching it again through her. Amen? Look at 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Amen. I just heard someone in their thought life say, but I don't want to. I heard that. If you say that you love God, but you hate people, the Word of God says that you are a liar. You are living, this is what it's saying. It's saying you're living a life of deception as a Christian. If your love walk towards others is out of order, you have a problem with your love walk toward God as well. Why? Because the two cannot be separated. I said this before, I'll say it again. The cross is vertical and it's horizontal. Love God, love people. Amen? To say that you love God and hate people and to treat them poorly is to have a disconnection between your heart and the heart of God. All right? Now, hate is defined as this. Are you ready? Hate is defined as an intense and passionate dislike for someone or something. Hate is the opposite of love. In fact, listen to this. Agape, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of loves in the Greek. But the love of God, say love of God. The agape love of God means to provide for needs of someone, even if they don't deserve it. Now, when the love of God is operating in your life, it is a spiritual mindset. I got to say this slow, Holy Ghost. I got to say this slow. You ready? Here we go. When the love of God is operating in our life, it is a spiritual mindset that is able to separate the fleshly acts of a person and the wrongs that they have done to you, and yet see them from God's perspective and provide for their needs, regardless. It's a perspective issue, amen? Many people that you don't get along with, or they have terrible attitudes, right? They treat you poorly. It's because of this. You understand when you're walking in the love of God that they have had horrible experiences take place in their life, and you, unfortunately, are the target for that. Are you following me? All right. Unfortunately, we can be the target of that pain. When you are truly walking in the love of God, in a lifestyle of love, you are spiritually sensitive enough, you could say it this way, you're spiritually sensitive enough to separate their wrong actions and wrong attitude and see beyond that pain. That you can see beyond the pain that they're living with, and you can see beyond that deception that's attached to that pain. Amen? A spiritually minded Christian is aimed at this, at restoring a person that's caught up into a fault, not kick them when they're down. Amen. Amen. Listen, not looking for an opportunity for them to fail, but to be healed and restored back to their God-given purpose. Amen. That's the love of God in action. How do you know when the love of God is in action? Because it's going to be against everything your flesh is feeling. How do you know it's the Holy Ghost? If he tells you to do something you don't want to do, yeah, it's probably the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are love, and they are able to separate the offense, the outward fleshly manifestation, to desiring to see that person healed and restored, to provide for their need. Amen? You which are spiritual, restore such an one that's caught up in a fall. You know that word restore means? It means someone who's broken a bone, say a broken arm. It's when you go to the doctor and the doctor comes in and puts it back in place. He restores it back. But us Christians, we're just too busy trying to break more arms. We like breaking other Christians' arms, don't we? God, right? We love breaking arms. We love breaking. Oh. I got caught up in that. We love breaking arms. We love breaking our own bones, meaning our own, meaning others in the body of Christ. We got too many bone breakers. I'm not talking Living Waters. Everyone's perfect here. I'm talking about those outside. I'm not. Right? The Word of God says that while we were yet sinners, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth as our Savior, as our provision for salvation. That happened while mankind was cursing God. If anybody had an excuse to kick us down the toilet for eternity, it was God. Are you following me? But God looked beyond that to the need of the root problem. You want to know what that root problem was? Sin. That sin nature in your spirit. I'm telling you right now, you are not a sinner. If you're a Christian, you're not a sinner. You're a saint because that sin nature has been kicked out. Now start living like it. Don't let that old man be resurrected. Jesus said, resurrect the dead, right? He didn't mean your old man. Are you following me? When we fail to walk in love, we fail to look beyond the fruit of a person that you're offended with. That's why it's called an offense or being offended. Why? Because it stops you in your tracks. Oh, I see a lot of head shaking out there. Let me say it again. That's what an offense is. An offense is you're walking, and you trip over something. You're offended over it. Are you following me? It's an offense. Say offense. And that is the bait of Satan to get you in a fleshly mindset, to get offended and not look beyond the outward manifestation of a person. That's why the Word says that God looks at a person's heart. Why? Listen, he doesn't just look at, you can't, no. He looks in the heart for this reason, to see the need of the person. Right? That doesn't mean that you can go and live like sin and say, oh, God knows my heart. No. That's not an excuse. What it means is he looks into a person's heart and sees the need. The spiritual Christian, listen to me. There's carnal Christians and there's spiritual Christians. The spiritual Christian looks beyond the outward of the action and looks at their heart and says, that person was wounded and hurt. I need to help them. Are you following me? That person had a rough life. That person had a horrible childhood. I can see there's pain in their heart. We need to help. We need to restore. Amen? There's a lot of broken bones in that person. We need to restore. We need to help set that in place. The kingdom of darkness knows. They know that if we walk in love toward others and look beyond that outward appearance, the way that God sees a person. They know the power of God will be released and the kingdom of God will be advanced. That's why the kingdom of darkness always wants you to be offended by that outward thing. No. Don't stop there. Keep walking. Keep looking. I know. It's ugly. What you see of that person, it's ugly. It's horrible. But look beyond. Look beyond. Amen? Stop focusing on the outward and look deeper. Look deeper. A spiritual mindset. Like I said, I want to say one more time. It looks beyond the outward actions to the core issues of the heart of a person. This, you should ask yourself this. If you're offended with a person and you see someone who's living not right, and you're offended by something that happened, you need to ask yourself this. The spiritual Christian does this. What do they need to shift into healing? What can I do to help shift that person's horrible attitude? Amen. You know what they need? They need to be loved. They need the love of God. Amen? So it's a problem with our perspective when you believe that you can love God yet treat his creation without love and respect. It's a failure to understand this. It's plain and simple. It's a failure to understand how the kingdom of God operates. Amen? And it's the opposite of the world. Don't get caught up in the whole world thing. Don't get caught up in the flesh, right? See, it grieves the heart of God when we fail to walk in love toward people around us. The kingdom of God operates, it advances with love. The love toward God and love toward people. Let me drop a spiritual bomb on you. Are you ready for this? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this. It says, faith, hope, and love. These three. It don't stop there. It says, the greatest of these is love. Now listen to this. Faith, it doesn't say faith is the greatest. It says love is. Amen? Why? Because faith works by love. If your love walk is out, forget the faith thing. A prerequisite of having faith, true faith, mountain-moving faith, is walking in love. And walking in love toward people does this. Okay, I'm going to look beyond the junk. I'm going to look beyond the hurtful words that you said to me. I'm going to look in your heart, and I'm going to say, you need healing, and I want to help restore you. Yep. When you do that, get ready for the power of God to ignite like never before. Amen. You want to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders, you better have that mindset. Mm-hmm. Or else the Holy Ghost says, I don't even want to operate through you if you're not going to think like that. Right. Mm. Wow, I feel that strong right now. I feel that so strong right now. Now, so faith is not the greatest. Amen? Faith works by love, and true love is obedience to God. And obedience to God is seeing people how he sees them. One of the greatest deceptions among Christians is that we can possess powerful, mountain-moving faith without operating in love. Mountains aren't moving in many Christians' lives because it's not a faith problem. It's a love problem. That's disqualifying their faith. Think about that. That's powerful. Amen? At best, the person who's not walking in love but's believing God, you know what that's called? Presumption. We don't move mountains by presumption. We move them by faith. And faith works by love. Amen? So stop focusing on getting strong faith until you get a strong and maintain a strong love walk toward others. Many Christians are trying to strengthen faith when there's an absence of love. And God said, and so people feel like they're spinning your wheels. You want to know why you're spinning? Because there's no love. Amen? Without love active in your life toward God and people, you will never do, the Holy Ghost told me this, he said, you will never do the greater works that Jesus said we would walk in as Christians. John 14:12. Love, the Holy Ghost said this to me. He said, love is a force that overcomes the kingdom of darkness. Love is a spiritual force that can melt the hardest of hearts. Amen? Look at Ephesians 4 real quick here. I'm almost done. Stick with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. We have to work on our love walk. When we get our love walk in order, then our faith walk will line right up. And then you'll see mountains move. Amen?
Amen.
That's when we'll see a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That will shake Carroll, Tuscola County, the Thumb region. Amen? Amen? Look at this, Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So it's possible to grieve the Spirit of God. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. This entire passage here is talking about our conduct toward other people. So it's telling us this in a nutshell. Stop lying to people. Be honest with them. Next, stop stealing from people. Do your own honest labor so you can be the giver. You can be the blesser. Amen? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the necessary edification or building up of a person, that it may minister grace and strength to the hearer, to the listener. Amen? Listen to this. The purpose and motive of spoken words to people. There's one purpose. Are you ready for this? To build them up, not to cut them down.
Amen.
Anytime you open your trap and let words come out to someone, you ask yourself, there better be a filter there that says, is this going to minister grace and edify this person? If not, shut your mouth until your heart heals.
Amen.
Why? Because you're going to do more damage. And it's going to go deeper. It's going to go deeper. The snowball down that mountain is going to get bigger and bigger. Amen?
Amen?
You ever see a teenager when they're smarting off to you, mom and dad? They just keep on going. And you're like, Billy, you better just shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. And they keep on going. We need to shut our mouths.
Amen.
And you need to let that filter be this. Don't let any words come out of your mouth when you're talking to someone. Is it ministering grace to the person, and is it going to build them up? Amen?
Amen?
Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by holding on to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, malice, and evil speaking. You want to know what malice means? Listen to this. Malice means to have the intent to cause pain, injury, and harm. It didn't stop there. Listen to what's in this definition that just blew my mind. Think about this in connection to spoken words. Ready for this? So it means an intent to cause pain, injury, or harm, or distress to another person. Say distress. This grieves the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says to be kind one to another, be tender-hearted and forgiving one to another, even as God in Christ forgave you. How can we hold on to a wrong done against us when God has done so many things that he could have held against us? Why? Because we're babies. We're big babies. We're selfish. We're prideful. Why? It's all about me. It's all about me. God's saying, get rid of yourself. Get rid of self. Amen? You truly want to walk in the power? Get rid of self. Drop your pride. Amen? So God gave us another chance. He buried our past mistakes, and he looked ahead to the future, to our potential. Guess what? Do the same for others. Whatever they did to you, drop it now. And let it always be a new beginning. How many times? How many times do I have to do a new beginning? 70 times 7. You know, that's another way of saying, don't ever stop. Why? Because on judgment day, you're not going to answer for them. You're going to answer before God for your own life. And you can stand in front of God and said, I gave them chances. I kept giving them. I know. Amen. Now I'm talking about forgiveness, not staying in a dumb relationship that's abusive or anything. Are you following me?
Yeah.
You getting this?
Yes.
No, do you really get this?
Yes.
Because some people use that as an excuse to stay in abusive relationships. Are you following me? Okay. I just got to make sure. Pastor's got to know that you understand this. Well, I'm going to have you sign this paper right now that says you understand this. So I can take it on judgment day to God and say, I had him sign a paper. Okay, there we go. So get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the unforgiveness. Amen? Amen. So now, someone's got to know this. Their lack of an apology or a failure to change does not let you off the hook from walking in love and forgiving them. Oh, boy, that went over. That bounced right back at me. Let me say it again. The person's lack of an apology or failure to change does not let you off the hook from walking in love or walking in forgiveness toward them. If you are offended, go to them. If they won't hear you, take someone else to witness it. If they still won't hear you, guess what? Walk in love and forgiveness anyways. Smile. Smile. Walk in love anyways, baby. Forgive them anyways. Amen? Now, you might not trust them. Trust needs to be earned. Forgiveness is freely given. You got to know the difference. Trust and forgiveness, they're different. Trust is earned, right? Someone burned you before a couple, few times, right? All my businessmen said. You walk in love, you love them, but yeah, probably won't be doing business again there, huh? Trust is earned. Forgiveness is freely given. Don't ever forget that. And don't let someone guilt trip you into saying, oh, but you got to forgive me. That don't mean you open the door to them to your life again. It means you're releasing them from your thought life. I'm free. That anchor's gone. Amen? So you're still expected to do the right thing and obey the word of God. Listen to this. The Holy Ghost said this. He said, your job as a Christian is not to figure out if someone deserves something or not. Your job is to lift the fallen, restore the broken, and heal the hurting. Amen. That's your job. Okay? This world, even the body of Christ, fits into those three categories. Amen? And I'm on my last page, so smile. Okay. The final point, I just want to say. So an evidence of righteousness is there will be a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness, right? There will be a seeking of righteousness. There will be a following after righteousness, and you will sow righteousness. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is another way of saying a true disciple will desire righteousness in their life. They'll desire to know it. What they'll want to know God's heart. Amen. They'll desire to know it, to understand it, and live it. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Amen. So consider, what are you sowing, amen? What you're reaping in your life presently is evidence of what you have been sowing in your life. Amen? Think about that now. Jesus also said in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is a command, not a suggestion. So evidence of righteousness of your life will be that you'll be a seeker of it. My last passage, and I'm done. Psalm 101, go there with me. Psalm 101. Oh, Pastor, weren't you going to shorten your message since we have a membership meeting today? Nah. Hey, guess what? You can handle them all. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 101, 1 through 8. I just want to finish it off here. Very cool psalm here. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing before wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whosoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect, don't trip up on that perfect, it means mature. He who walks in a perfect or mature way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Now, church, we can talk about evidence of righteousness all day long, but what it really comes down to is, I'm on final approach here, what it really comes down to is desiring to know the Lord with all your heart. Amen? To know his word, to desire to obey, to please him. If you will maintain those mindsets in your life, the evidence will not have to be a forced dead work, but it will be a joy in your life, and it will be a natural byproduct of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand up in this place. God wants that holiness to come from a place of intimacy with him, loving him, truly desiring him. Prayer team, come on up. Now, maybe there's some in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Don't leave this place without doing that. I'm begging you today, don't do it. Because if you drop dead today, you got in a car accident and got killed, the moment you take your last breath, your eternal destination is sealed. Come up and pray with one of our prayer team members today. If you're backslidden, you're ones that I was talking to, that you need to come back to the Lord. You need to come back to your first love. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord today, I want you to come forward and pray with one of our prayer team members. You want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. You want to pray in other tongues. Come on forward. We will pray with you. We will explain it. We'll stay here as long as we possibly can to help you. If you need prayer for anything else, yourself or anybody else, come on forward, and we want to minister to you. But visitors, thank you so much for coming today. We hope you enjoyed it. The Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way today. Amen? Amen. All right. Hey, invite some more people next week. We're going to move forward. We're going to see a move of God. Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you all.